Hey y'all, thanks for joining us for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. You know, I always say good things happen when people and roses come together. And on today's show, we'll hear a story about how a local Rose Society's partnership with a botanical garden created a teaching garden for generations to learn and grow.
It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Ron Daniels has quite a pedigree when it comes to gardening. He is a third generation gardener who loves bringing joy to others through gardening, and in particular through growing roses. Ron is a master gardener, a master consulting rosarian with the American Rose Society, a member of the Nashville Rose Society, as well as a representative for Holy Cow Premium Soil Mix and Beatty Organic Fertilizers. Through the years, he has been the driving force for many garden-related endeavors, including a ministry of sharing bouquets with shut-ins and widows on their birthdays. His most recent project has been an educational garden at Cheekwood Botanical Gardens in Nashville, Tennessee. Ron joins us today to chat about this new garden project. Hey, Ron. It's good to have you on Rose Chat.
Thanks for having me again.
Ron, you're often described as someone with boundless energy and up for the big projects. But your latest garden project was a little more than just a project. It was a dream. So tell us about it.
Well, that's a good description, a dream. Being a member of the Nashville Rose Society for almost 20-something years now, I could never figure out. We meet at Cheekwood Botanical Gardens in Nashville, and I never could figure out why there wasn't a rose garden there. So I done some investigating and found out that back in the early 80s, there was one there, and this is before my time, and it was mainly hybrid teas, and it was pretty big challenge for the Rose Society back then. So eventually, they done away with that garden, and I just had this dream, and I shared it with some of the members of our society. Said, "Well, what can we do?" And I said, "Well, I think we need to talk to the people here at Cheekwood." And Cheekwood is a pretty famous place in Nashville, semi-famous. It's a home and gardens of the Cheek family, who were the Maxwell House Coffee people fame, and they lived there in the 20s and 30s. We got a hold of the people at Cheekwood, the powers to be, and asked for a meeting. And so on a cold February day in February of 2015, we had a meeting with everybody involved. And me and Sam Jones, our district director at the time, and a landscape architect friend of mine, Todd Beyer. Todd was actually kind of commissioned by Cheekwood to do a lot of their landscape architectural work there and work on some changes. So I knew him real well. He was a friend of mine, so he was on our side when we went into the meeting. So we met with him. And they were real receptive to what we were talking about. They actually said, "Well, let's go out on the site." And there was actually snow on the ground. And they gave us two sites that were real close to where we meet, which was exciting. We came back in, warmed up, and they said, "Well, we'll have to get with the CEO of Cheekwood and run by marketing. And you look at the liability behind it." I mean, it was a whole list of things, but we will get back with you. Within 2 weeks, they called me in particular, and said, "Hey, we're going to let you guys do this." And I said, "Well, that's great." He said, "But we have some conditions." And the conditions are, we have no money. at this particular point to spend on this. You will have to give us an agreement from the National Rose Society that y'all will maintain it, build it, and plant it and the whole deal. I went back to our members and told them, and they said, let's go for it. So then we had to start out trying to find some vendors, local vendors, that would donate materials and plants and soil, and all the people there, including Sam, and some of the members, and Todd Byer, the architect there. And that was another thing. They said they had to have a formal drawing of it to submit to them. We all went out looking for that, and Todd Byer said, well, I'll do the drawings for free. With him, the connection, that really made it nice. Then we went to Bellegarde, who's a big stone company down here, and they donated the stone. It was like 24,000 pounds of stone. He said, well, you guys can have it, but you got to figure out a way to get the cheap wood. I called a friend of mine, and he actually trucks things from one point to another, and he said, I'll do that for you. So we got that there. All of a sudden, everybody that we had talked to about donating said yes. Unbelievable. It's strange, you know, if you ask somebody to do something, you know, to donate something, if you'll ask, most of the time, if you can tell them what your plan is and what you're trying to accomplish, they are willing to give you something. So we gathered up just about, in about a 3 to 4 week period of time, we gathered everything we needed to do it. Oh man, it's meant to be if it's going to be this way. Now we had some hiccup, you know, we got the stone and we had to find somebody to lay it. But Todd Byer, the architect, he was right there every step of the way. And he was kind of our go-between Cheekwood because he was on kind of on staff there, or at least he was commissioned to do landscape architecture there at Cheekwood. So it just kind of fell into place, and then we got gathered out the materials, and I told him I would oversee it. I had some construction experience, and I'd make sure that keep us out of trouble or keep from running over any plants or people, anything like that. So, in June, we started moving dirt, and I had to go back and tell you, they did come back and tell us, of course, that we could do it with all these conditions. And being in construction business, I drew up the agreement on the thing, and another one of the agreements that they had, they wanted us, the part of the garden, to be earth kind roses, mm-hmm. No spray roses, and the rest of them could be floribundas and rugosa or hybrid teas or miniatures or mini floors or anything like that. So we could have a variety out there. We agreed to that too. So they told us to go to work, and we did. And in June, we started grading. And that's one of the items that the National Rose Society paid for. And then we started building the walls. So we got the walls up, and then I went to the Holy Cow people and said, hey, I need some soil. And one of the things about working at Cheekwood, people were so willing to contribute because Cheekwood is, you know, it's our only botanical garden. And, you know, if you say you've got soil at Cheekwood, it means a lot in Middle Tennessee. So
now that we've got all of these things in place, what's happening back at the Rose Society meetings? Are they getting excited?
Oh, definitely. And what we did, emails or online too. We kept the members up to date on the progress of it. And then when we mm-hmm. had a meeting, they could walk out and see, you know, right out the door. I mean, we meet about 300 feet from where this garden is.
Oh my word.
They were able to walk out and look at it and see the progress in it. And so it was just an exciting time. And be honest with you, I was a little selfish myself because I've always wanted this and never could understand why it would not work. I'm real proud of our society because we really got progressive this past mm-hmm. year. And this garden, this study garden, and that's what it's called, it's the Rose Study Garden in cooperation with Cheekwood. And that's another thing we told Cheekwood, we want it to be for the public too. And we also want it to be for future educational programs there. And they were kind of excited about that because anything they can have there from a lot of garden clubs meet there. And if you can do anything toward education, they'll get real excited about. And I love to teach, and I'm excited when somebody first starts growing roses. And this would be a great, great tool for that. And so in the meantime, we had new members that were looking at it as a, for them, as a way to learn, because we've been PowerPointing them to death, and we was just, other than pruning demos, we would have a hands-on thing. And, you know, and y'all talked to me in the past, you know how I feel about mentorship, and I just, you know, I thought, man, what an opportunity when somebody joins, just take them out to this garden.
Our Rose Society meets in the evening, so I don't know how well that would work for us. Do you guys meet in the evening, or do you meet in the day?
This was another change. You know, I always tell people, my grandmama used this expression all the time, and as a kid, I thought it was kind of silly, but these things come back to you. And she used to talk about change, you know, life's full of change. She said, you can't catch, you thought she was a great cook, and she said, you know, you just can't keep mixing a chocolate cake mix and trying to get vanilla. You got to change, a white cake mix, you know, you got to make a change. So time change was major. Everybody decided to meet on Sunday afternoons, and a lot of us go to church and out to eat, and we said we're going to meet from 2 to 5, and we voted on it, and 75% of the membership voted for that day. And then what we were planning on doing that last hour after our meetings and our speakers, and the last hour spent an hour in the garden. And that way we had daylight time to do it. Like I said, everything just fell into place. I mean, it's like it was meant to be. And then we were ready to plan. Then I got to calling around to the nurseries and some people like Weeks and Certified and Antique Rose Emporium out in Texas. And I got a lot of the roses donated. Now, some of them we had to purchase, but most of them we got donated. We got the roses. And then I picked up the phone, called an irrigation friend of mine, and he donated the irrigation system for the drip system for the water, because we had water at that site, which was another plus.
Obviously, it is very important to have friends in the business, so that really helped a lot.
Yeah.
But other than outside in the garden, what have you seen, any changes with the community that's going on inside the society?
Yes, we really have, you know, and we were going through kind of a transition because, you know, some of our members had passed away and some of the old guard had stepped aside for various reasons. So, you know, we turned around there and we had a good core of people. So what we did, we elected the officers, but we elected 12 vice presidents. You know what? That was the best thing that we ever done, because we were able to sit down and say, hey, how can we make this better? What can we do? My whole goal with the Rose Society, what I really wanted to see in that committee, and I drove home to them, I said, guys, we kind of make this accessible. In any organization, if you've got new people, you kind of make them feel like they're a part of. And so we emphasize that. And our membership, it started growing, especially when the people heard about this garden. And I just think anytime I'm a master gardener, and I learned a lot of these principles from being a master gardener, because we develop community and we do things together and we find public projects that we can do and do volunteer work. I know you can't do that completely with roses because it's so specialized, but you can develop that sense of community and that it's part of what you're doing. And I've been involved with Master Gardeners for a long time. And anytime I work on a project, I come away feeling like I was part of it. And that's what we wanted to do with the Rose Society. We got them really involved. We planted about 40 some roses in September. And, we planned on doing that in order to, teach bare root, planting in the spring of this year. But we planted 42, and man, I just couldn't believe the people showed up. I mean, it was just, we didn't have no twos there. I mean, everybody showed up, and we got them planted quick, and And I stood back and looked at it, and I thought, man, this is what I dreamed of. I dreamed of us doing all this and everybody doing their part. And some of the people couldn't dig a hole and plant a plant, but they could make labels, or they could just clean up. So everybody did their part. But I was very proud of them. And our president, Cindy Rose, I took her back beside us and said, look at this. This is what we talked about. And she was so excited. She said, you know, you had a vision about this. And I said, well, it's not just me. I said, you guys bought into it. And then it's going to pay off because we're going to be able to educate people more. Our May meeting, a week or so ago, the CEO at Cheekwood come by and talk to us and bragged on us and wants us to get involved in the educational programs at Cheekwood. And see, that's another opportunity. Without that study garden, that probably would never even happen. So we did draw some interest. They are improving the site around the garden, which is exciting, and kind of open it up so when people come into the Cheekwood Botanical Gardens, when they come up the drive, and I don't know if y'all ever remember there was a restaurant there called the Pineapple Room, and the Rose Garden's right next to it. And it's going to be very visible after they finish refurbishing the area around it. I mean, our May meeting, we went out and then we did some deadheading. We had six people out there that didn't know how to deadhead a rose. So it just became such a great, great, great teaching tool. As a society, all our societies, I mean, if we don't focus on that, let people know that, you know, we're here to help you. You know, you can teach a lot when somebody comes to your open garden. You know, that's an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ron, we just commend you and your executive committee and your president for thinking outside the box, because it's all those great ideas that we infuse into our societies that make them richer. And so what a great example this is for other societies.
My dad was a coach, and he just told us, he said, you know, you got to bring people together.
Thank our guest Ron Daniels for joining us today on the Rose Chat podcast. If you'd like to know more about the ongoing work of the Nashville Rose Society, visit their website, NashvilleRoseSociety.com. To find a local Rose Society in your neck of the woods, check out the American Rose Society's website at rose.org, where you'll find a complete listing of all 300 local Rose Societies in the United States. That's all the time we have for this edition of the Rose Chat podcast, and we thank you for listening. Until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com, or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.